I wanted to share just a short word as we begin this morning before we turn it over to your stories of thanksgiving, stories on how God has done a marvelous thing in your life this whole year, testimonies as to his faithfulness to you throughout the year. And we're going to be hearing those stories soon, and we're going to be using some technology as well. For those that couldn't be here this morning, we'll hear from those that are watching online. My thoughts this morning is related to how I'm thankful to the Lord in my own Christian walk. Now, obviously, I'm thankful to my wife and for my wife, Lydia. I'm thankful to have a son, Marcos Milan. He's 13 years old, and he's growing nicely. I'm thankful, of course, for my church family. I'm thankful for everyone here. I'm thankful for my job, my friends, and how the Lord has really sustained us this entire year. There are times when God is not so as pronounced in your life through trials as we know at times it happens, but it's in those quiet times and in those times of refreshment that the Lord becomes very real to you, and especially in our lives as a family. But certainly the topic of my redemption in Christ, as it was applied to me by the Spirit of God, is really above all things. I mean, how do I know God loves me? My redemption through Christ. How do I know that I was a sinner and was in a state of sin and was delivered from sin and became saved? Through my redemption in Christ. How was I sealed by the Spirit and justified from all things? How was I made righteous in Christ? How was I adopted as a son and you as a daughter into the family of God, where we cry, Abba, Father? And now we have this most amazing access into the very throne room of God through prayer. How? Through the redemption that is ours in Christ. I'd like to quote a Bible teacher friend of mine by the name of Ellen Parks regarding this idea of access into the very presence of God. He says, you know, the godliest Israelite in the Old Testament would be dazzled, wouldn't he, by this very real access we have as a benefit and a privilege to come into the presence of God. The Israelites would see the high priest descend but once a year, bearing blood for the sins of the people. They would watch and they would wait anxiously and would wait for the moment that the high priest would once again reappear by the announcement. If you recall, the high priest had a holy garment, and at the bottom of that garment were bells. And so they could hear the priest minister in the temple. And when he would reappear, what a blessed collective sigh of relief must have been theirs that once again, for another year, God had accepted the sacrifice and the shedding of blood of an innocent victim, close quote. Sound familiar? That's what the Lord Jesus was to us. And so now that all that has been done away with because of the redemption that is ours in Christ, you and I can now come boldly and with confidence into the very throne room of God, where we can obtain mercy and grace in time of need, whenever we want to. Not once a year, but whenever we want to. Yes, through my redemption in Christ, I am now forever, and you are now forever, and that's why I'm thankful that we are forever connected to Christ and to God for all eternity. But you know this connection, the enemy of our souls does not like. And he's always lurking to see how he might disconnect that connection that you have to God. And one of the ways that the enemy of our souls tries to disconnect us is by joining together what God has separated. and by separating what God has joined together. What do I mean by this? Well, clearly God does not want us to create any affiliations with this world, right? What fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has sin with righteousness? None whatsoever. These are clear examples on how the enemy tries to get those two opposites to join together, thereby frustrating your life as a Christian. Likewise, clearly God wants our practice here on earth to match our position in the glory. Talk about 6 degrees of separation. Here on earth, God wants us to practice righteousness. He wants us to practice holiness. He wants us to practice living for him that matches our position in the glory. Another way to put it, he wants the principles in this book that's outside of us to be in these walking shoes of our lives. He wants our words to match our life. That's why I'm thankful that throughout this year, and ever since I became a Christian, I have two intercessors, and you have two intercessors. If I may have that on the screen. In Hebrews 7:25, and in Romans 8:27, and again in Romans 8:34, there you have it. These verses tell me that throughout this year, there have been two intercessors at work. One is seated at the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus, who ever lives to intercede on my behalf. And one is here on earth in my heart to intercede for me when I need to pray. One that's in the heavens that is audibly, or perhaps maybe not audibly, but his blood does testify and speak to the Father when I mess up and when you mess up. And here on earth, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives that when we are in prayer and we can't find those exact words that we feel deeply in our hearts, he takes what we feel and he presents them perfectly in the ears of our Father. Yes, I'm thankful that I have a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who provided for us in a rich and full and free redemption in him. And I'm also thankful for the sanctifier, the Spirit of God that's in my heart, that's in your heart. And he's there negatively to convict you of sin. But positively, he's in your life to comfort you in the trials of life. He is there in your heart as a teacher to help you learn the will of God for your life. And as an intercessor, he's there to help you pray. And when you fail to pray, guess what? He's praying for you. He's praying for you. May God daily help us to appreciate this amazing truth that I'm thankful for each and every day, that we have a Lord in the heaven that intercedes for us. And in our hearts, we have a person, the Spirit of God, to help us pray and intercede for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for this amazing truth that we have in the Lord Jesus, whoever lives to intercede for us, and also the Spirit of God that aids us with words that cannot be uttered, yet presented to you, our Father, in perfection. As we continue now in your presence, Father, may all our thoughts and words and thanksgivings be unto thy name, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and take some some testimonies from the congregation, what the Lord has done for you throughout the year. Our first two testimonies will be by way of video. And then once the two videos are completed, I'm going to come out to you. I'm going to do something a little bit different this year. I'm actually going to come out to you with the microphone and the podium here. Not the podium, sorry. The stand. And what we would like you to do is just speak into the microphone. Do not handle the microphone or the stand. I will be taking it around to bring it to you, okay? Just to be safe in terms of the current status that we all find ourselves in. So at this time, if we have those queued up, those two testimonies, we'll begin.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to all, and it's so pleasant to be able to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful that the Lord has allowed me time to be able to do this even, and he's been so diligent to watch over myself and to keep me safe from this virus that's going around. I'm so happy of that, and especially knowing that God is in control has made it very simple for me to, you know, to take this stuff in stride the way I should. But the Lord is good, and he will provide for us. And so thankful that he just has watched over my entire family in this time of crisis of the virus. But we're looking forward to it coming to an end eventually, and we'll get some normalcy back to our lives. And I'm looking forward to that time. But I just pray that you'll all be safe and just rely on the Lord to help you. Go.
Hi, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Mel and I had a quiet day with the two of us, but I have so many things that I feel so thankful for. I think of our three girls, all of whom are working, all of whom contacted us over the holidays and talked with us. Thankful for God's presence in their life. Thankful that they have jobs, our son-in-laws have jobs, their children that are adults, the four boys have jobs. Thankful so for the love that we feel in our family there, the love that we feel in our church family. We thank the Lord for you, and just to know that he is with us, that he has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. And as a young teenager, I learned a song, "He's Able." He's able. I know he's able. And that's been through my life. I've known that he is able to take us through the hard times, but he has given us so much to be thankful for at this season of the year. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
And now at this time, for those that are in the congregation, when you're ready.
I'm thankful for my new church family. You have been a great blessing, and the friendship has been absolutely wonderful. The prayers of the pastor and his wife have been a great benefit. In March of the beginning of the year, while in the shower, I found a lump. And I called Roswell, and it felt like the size of a dime. And they did CAT scans, MRIs, and blood tests, and everything you can think possible. They had done that. And I had my other church before they had closed, Living Hope. They prayed with me and for me, and family and friends, and I also went to Pastor Lonnie as well as his wife, and they prayed as well. And that was March, and every single test came back, no cancer. And there were set to go and do some more tests, and I had had this type of cancer before, or not saying that it was cancer, but I had the same problem, and the pain was through the roof. And this time it wasn't quite as bad, but I was afraid that it was going to get like that. So they sent me to pain management. And that was, they gave me gabapentin, and they said I could take up to 4 pills, morning, noon, and night, 300 milligrams, and my mind just like staggered at the amount. But it started out with just 1 pill in the morning, 1 pill in the afternoon, and then 2 at night, and still I was in pain. And we just kept praying and just kept believing, because the greatest thing other than salvation is the peace of the Lord. And he has gotten me through so many things. And what he had done and what he had started to do, and why, by the time September came around, my pain level was from a 2 to almost nothing. And I have a pretty high pain tolerance, but I was a little afraid of this one. And I noticed that the pain was going away. And so while in the shower, again, I thought, I'm going to check. The tumor had shrunk. It was about the size of a pea now. And it's been growing smaller as the weeks have gone by, to where I am no longer on medication, and I can barely feel the tumor. And I just praise God, because he is ever faithful. He is our healer, and he is our peace. And his peace is what got me through all of this. I thank God for this.
Born in church. I became a member of the church last year, and I've been coming here for just over 2 years now. I've been saved since 1982. This year, I'm going through some things on my back. You know, I went to a chiropractor 3 weeks in a row, made an appointment with my doctor, but then I didn't need to see the doctor. I just went to chiropractor, been a dermatologist. But I thank God that, chiropractor can't do nothing. So, I was grateful, for the Lord and that. Gave me a chance to witness to the chiropractor. It's a real nice lady. And I can still ride my bike and, go places. I can walk and things like that. This year, I just thank the Lord. I got my own apartment now after having a room with, there were 7 rooms there, 7 people. So, we shared everything, the TVs and downstairs and all that. And cooking, things like that. So now I got my own apartment, thanks to my good friend, Pastor Brett, and his wife. They bought a house on the east side and live upstairs, and he made me a manager there, which is great. My sister and brother-in-law stayed home for Thanksgiving. I couldn't go over there this year because you know what's happening. And my sister's sister-in-law, we usually get together with the 4 of us and my 1 nephew, but now my 1 nephew's married and got a daughter, and my oldest nephew's got a wife and 3 children. So I'm a great uncle, 4 times, praise God for that. Thank the Lord for that. And this is the year that, really trying for all of us, the times that we're going through and everything and that. And I just want to thank the Lord for saving me first, and, just like the sister said, with the grace of God and his love and everything in that, and Brother Angel said, kind of summed it up. And I'm just glad to be here today. I'm glad that the, courts are working. I'm glad we got that lady in there now. She's a conservative. We'll see hopefully some other things change too. I think for Pastor Lonnie here, I talked to him several times, one-on-ones, and that was just great. And I thank the brothers and sisters for giving me a ride when I was in Lackawanna, or even when I'm living over in the east side. They're giving me rides, you know, to church here and back and that. And I'm just grateful for being alive today, and I think to see all your brothers and sisters, and it's great for all of us, you know, showing up here because the love of God woke us up this morning and getting us on our way. And it's just, you know, I just thank, you know, my good friend, you know, Pastor Brett and his wife to help me so much. I got a permit last October. Brother Jason, you know, let me use the car one time, and I was driving it. And my Pastor Brett let me use the truck several times. So hopefully I can get a license soon instead of riding a bike and taking a bus. So thank you very much for listening to me. I just want to give glory to praise and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
As you're gathering some of your thoughts to be the next person to share, let's go to technology now for a moment. We have a testimony here from Ellie Dillingham. She's watching us on Facebook Live. She says, I am thankful for my salvation and for the ones who brought me to CAS and the many who mentored me over the years. Also, I am especially thankful for the Lord's gift of memories that keeps alive in our hearts those who made a difference in our lives. Praise the Lord. Barbara LaFave, live on Facebook, also says, thankful to be part of the family of God through his work on the cross, and thankful that in these days that we cannot participate in person, many forms of technology allow us to sing, praise, and even see you. Thankful to all who reach out to make these things happen and be used of God to bless us and reach out to others. Thanks also to Pastor Lonnie, God's man, to lead us at this time. Ebony Hudson, live on Facebook, says to us, I am thankful for our family's health and strength during this pandemic. Being able to still worship with my church family from home and pray together. Most of all, I am thankful that the Lord and Holy Spirit is in our life and walking with us each day and surrounding us with their wings of protection. Anyone else?
I have to really start by just saying that salvation is the most important thing that I'm thankful for, and that I have Jesus every day and the Word of God that we have, that we can let him talk to us. This year, our family has gone through some changes, and we added a baby in May, and she's doing well, growing really big. Tomorrow celebrates my grandson's Gotcha Day, where they went to India and took custody of him. They call it the Gotcha Day, and they'll celebrate that. That was 4 years ago. That same little guy went through surgery on Friday to re-implant a cochlear hearing device, and they'll turn the sound on the 22nd of December. So he hasn't had hearing since the end of May, and they had to take it out because of an infection. Those are two really big things that I'm really thankful for. And also that we do have technology that can keep us together, and we Zoomed on Thanksgiving to get the family together. Just to be able to do that is a blessing. And thank you for all of the things that worked up into having this pandemic to last so long and to still be able to come together. And I'm just thankful for salvation most of all.
She mentioned two grandchildren, and we actually have Vignesh has got a sister from India also, not biological, but sister all the same. And we're going to have a new grandchild from my other daughter in February. So our family's growing. Praise God.
Been asked to say that my name is Josh. The one thing I struggle with throughout my Christian life is the strength and the amount of my faith, but I can definitely say that I'm grateful for the faith that I have, because in spite of how dark points of my life seem to be, I can't imagine living without something to cling through to go through those times. And for all the friends that I see that blatantly say that God doesn't exist, I wonder how they're even still alive. So I'm thankful that faith exists, thankful that I have even a small measure of it, and I definitely pray for those without, because I want them to be able to come through their dark times as well.
Church family, just wanted to say that I'm thankful for you all. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to serve here, and now right at 7 years our family's been here, and you all are a very patient, gracious congregation, and I'm just thankful for you all. It really is a privilege to serve in this church. Thankful for my wife and for my kids. I think that kind of goes without saying, but it needs to be said. I'm thankful for them, and thankful for what God's doing in our lives. Thankful for the other elders that are here. It's a blessing to serve with other guys who love the Lord and love you all. For all the volunteers who make ministry here happen, if it was just me serving here, there wouldn't be a whole lot that's happening other than preaching on Sunday mornings and a few other things. But those that work in children's ministry, like Lori and Lisa, do so much. And love on the kids and the families here in our church. For Paul and Jane, how they get up there every week and serve you all through the gifts that God has given to them. And so there's just a lot of people here in this congregation that make ministry happen. A lot of it are those things that never get seen by anybody, certainly never get paid for by anybody, that the only eyes that really see it are the Lord. And so I'm very thankful for you guys and for all that takes place in this church, and look forward to continuing to serve here and seeing what God does through the people here at Kaz Church. God bless you all.
Good morning. About a year ago, God laid it on my heart to read the Bible in a year. And I have this Bible. It's a one-year Bible. So first off, I've committed myself to do that for the year, and I've kept up, and I've read daily, and I've had that time with the Lord. And that certainly is not something I could do by myself. So thankful that God has put it in my heart to do that. A couple things that I've learned along the way. Certainly, the whole Bible points to the cross and Jesus and his redeeming love. And it's overwhelming to realize that no matter what, no matter every day that I screw up, God is there to say, you're forgiven and you're loved. So that's one thing. Second thing is, through this crazy, crazy year, the fear, the anxiety, the election, the pandemic, God has said, you are not alone. And I have taken that to heart, because so many times the burdens of life, family who I love so dearly, my job, you know, everything that happens for all of us, God has repeatedly said, you are not alone. And secondly, the God of heaven's armies is in control. He will put whoever he wants in the presidency. He will take away whatever he wants. He is in control. And to learn to live by faith, we say that, and by God's grace, we say that, but to actually start to do that, I'm just humbled that God loves me so much that he's on that journey with me, taking me by my hand and sometimes carrying me. So lots to be thankful for.
I'm thankful for a mom and a brother.
Well, I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve here. I was reading through Joshua this morning, and came to the verse that said that the only one time that God listened to a man's request was to let the sun stand still. When they were making up the calendar, they were missing a day. And they went to the scriptures, and that's what they found, is that that one day was lost. When Joshua was trying to overcome five of the Amorites, they were going to try to take over Israel because they were possessing the land at that time. But I want to give thanks for God for the health that I've had. I'm going to say I haven't been sick for 20 years. The type of sickness that you wish you could breathe when you're in the bed. Haven't had a fever of any sort, and you really don't miss pain. I'm a wimp. And the opportunity to serve our risen Savior, don't take it lightly, because there's a lot to do. The pastor has a vision for this community, and he needs people to help. And so I just reiterate, don't take salvation for granted. We're saved to serve our risen Savior, and I'm awful thankful for it.
I want to thank God for my suffering. because it's through the suffering that I'm going through that God has called me to his word and to truth. And he's opening up my eyes to things I never saw before. And I know God works in pain. And his word does say, give thanks in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. And I believe that it is God's will for me to be going through this. I haven't felt normal now for, like, it's going to be 3 years in May. But God has given me the grace to sustain me every moment of every day, because I'm still here and I'm still alive. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for this church also. This church is wonderful. Pastor Lonnie is wonderful, because he really speaks truth through the word and opens up our eyes to things that to help us grow in maturity. That's what I love about this church, that pastor teaches us maturity, not basic Christian. Like, he gives us solid food instead of just milk, like a lot of preachers, I hate to say, do. And so I appreciate that solid food. And he enables me to go into his word, even though it's like torture sometimes. I go into his word anyways because I have to. It's a necessity. I have to be in God's word, even though it's hard to do. I have to discipline myself. So I'm grateful that he's sustained me all this time. And I know he's real because I'm a testimony that he's real, because I suppose I shouldn't be here if I didn't have the Lord. I'm sure I would have probably committed suicide. But the Lord always gave me the strength He's always given me this grace and the strength to go on like I am right now, and I thank him for that. I want to be a better witness for him. A lot of times my mouth is quiet. I do not proclaim the Lord to people where I live that do not know the Lord. A lot of times I do not say a word about the Lord because I'm scared, and I'm like even ashamed and embarrassed. I hate to say it, but I need prayer. I keep praying to the Lord, please make me a better witness for unsaved people, even my family. I pray for that. I pray to love him more too, because a lot of times I'm pretty like angry a lot of times at God. And I know that's a sin, because I'm supposed to love him with my whole heart, mind, and soul, and strength. I know I'm sinning by not loving him and not giving him thanks and everything. And I ask for forgiveness. So I'm grateful that I just thank God for helping me through my symptoms and helping me not be in the mental hospital permanently. And being able to live where I live and function, and that I didn't lose my mind. I thank God for that every day. I just want to worship him and mean it when I worship him, really mean it. A lot of times I worship him and I could tell my heart is not in it at all. So I have to have more faith. That's why I believe I'm going through this, to build my faith up. They have really saving faith, not just faith that you proclaim with your mouth, but faith that's really in your heart, really deep inside. And to know and to love God with your heart. I know I don't love God the way I'm supposed to, because when I say I love you, Lord, I could tell I don't mean it. But I believe that the more he's drawn me to him so much more because of my illness. So I'm praying that someday I'll really be able to say, I love you, Lord, and mean it, because I want to love him enough as the holy saints and the holy angels love him in heaven. I want to love God that much. I'm not there yet, but I pray that I will be. I might have a few years left in this life. I'm praying that I could reach that point by the time the Lord takes me. It's sort of like wonderful not to have a fear of death, because most people do, I suppose, but I noticed through my illness too, the world and the things of the world are becoming more and more distant and dim to me. I notice I have no desire to do or even watch anything like in the world anymore. Like I used to spend a lot of time in worldly things. I don't do that anymore. I don't want to. I don't want it. I want to get closer to God. So I thank him for all that. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Judy Galley. I had a nice Thanksgiving, surprised with my brother, he had a turkey and everything. And the day after Thanksgiving, of course, Thanksgiving, I didn't go out anywhere. And I had prepared some daily breads to send at the post office to people, the daily bread. So I went to I got in my car and drove to the post office and mailed a couple daily breads. And on Thanksgiving, in the Daily Bread, there was a wonderful reading about Argentina and that, or Brazil, where that big statue is of Jesus with his arms out over the world and how he wants the world to come to him. And I thought that was so wonderful. So I had a bunch of those tracts made that I could give out to people. Like she mentioned, it's hard to witness about Jesus, but it's easy to give out from the daily bread. And as I give to people, they just keep thanking me. Thank you, they say. Well, I went to Wegmans to do some groceries that day, and I gave the lady at the register one, the man, and he thanked me. He said, oh, thank you. I said, this is for you to read. He said, oh, thank you, he said. Then I went, I had some others prepared, and I had to go back to the post office to mail some emails that I had gotten at Office Depot made. And I drove back to the post office. I go there almost every day to mail things. And there was a big truck behind me. And so I wanted to hurry to turn in there to the post office, as I do often. And when I turned, the car went down in the ditch, and it turned over, not completely over, but to the side. And the Lord had prepared, and he always does, to take care of us. And he had these people there. This one lady was going in the post office, and she heard this loud noise, because I hit the sign there by the post office on the left. If you go there on Seneca Street, you'll see it down, and that's what I hit. And I was in the car, and I was getting out of the car to go. I said, well, I'll walk to the post office because I want to mail this thing, this big envelope. So I started to get out of the car. And this lady came running. She said, I heard this noise. And then two other ladies came, and then some men came. The Lord had all these people there at that time in his care. And there's lots I could go in all the detail of this. It was something, moment by moment, what the Lord did. But one thing, he had given me these words of thanks, and she mentioned one of them, in everything give thanks. And I thought, yes, that's what I want to do, Lord, in everything. I'm not thankful for this happening, but I'm thankful for in it, for your presence and your workings and your will. You knew this would happen to me even before I was born. And so that helped me to not get all rattled. And the people would keep coming and asking me if I'm all right. Are you safe? Are you okay? Are you okay? And then this lady wanted me to get in her car, and she turned on the heater for me to be warm. But I had so much clothes on that I was so warm I didn't want the heater. And I told her, I don't need it unless you want to come in the car and for yourself, but I don't need it. So she, anyway, she wanted to do that, so I let her do it. She said, is it too high? And I said, yeah, no, it's too high. I really don't need it at all. So you can turn it off. And so she turned it down low then. And she said, well, 20 seconds. So that was to comfort her, I thought. And then when the police came, they called the police and they called the tow truck. They said, we'll take care of all that. You don't have to do that. And well, they did it. And the police came, and this police lady came over to my car so often to get my license and stuff. And then somebody went in my car and brought my satchel with my wallet in and all. And then this lady that was taking care of me in her car, she said, I'll mail your envelope. You know, she had an envelope exactly like mine, the same size, the same color and everything, in her arms. And I was amazed. Even that surprised me, that the Lord had the lady there with the same envelope, and she wanted to mail it for me. And she says, does it have the same amount of or enough postage on it? I said, well, I have 2 stamps on it, but I think it needs more, and that's why I was coming here to check it out. And she took it, and she said, well, I'm going to mail it with mine. And I said, well, here's my wallet. But she said, no, I'll pay for it. So she went in, and she came out, and I asked her, how much was it? And she said, 50 cents more. And so I had 2 quarters exactly to give her, and I wanted to give them. I kept trying and trying to give it to her, but she wouldn't take the quarters. She said, no, you use it for something else, and when you mail it again, something. That happened, and then these other ladies kept coming to me, asking too if they could help, and they could call somebody for me. And I said, no, there's nobody to call. And then they said, are you going to be able to drive this car okay? Are you feeling okay for that? And I said, yeah, I can drive it. In fact, I wanted to back it up onto the road myself and try to turn it into the post office. And then they said, well, the tow truck, police will be coming. And I said, well, I want to stay in the car. I wanted to go back to the car. I want to be in there when the tow truck comes and tows it. But they said, no, you can't do that. It might roll over more. It's too dangerous. Well, the tow truck came, and the tow truck man came to get the key for the car from me. And he took the key and went to the car. And then they told me, oh, the tow truck came, and the man's going to tow it out. And they were watching and watching, and they didn't do anything. They had things they were supposed to do at the post office, and the post office was closing because it was 5:00. Anyway, the tow truck man, he came and he did the towing and got it out. And then he said to me, your tailpipe is hanging down. It should be tied up. The bracket broke. And I said, okay. So he went and got some wire from his tow truck and went under the car. And he looked under the car and he tied it up. And then he said, everything looks okay under there that I can see, but you should have it checked. So then, when he pulled it out, he parked it a way over. And he said, well, I'm going to drive it to check it out. And I said, can I get in and drive it with you? Can I be with you when you drive it around and check it? He said, oh, no, you just stay where you are, and then I'll bring it back. And so he did. And then he said to me, yes, you can drive it. It's okay. And the ladies, too, said, oh, it looks good, the way it's going everywhere, so around turning. So you can be okay. So I said, okay. So then I walked over to the car. He didn't bring the car to me. I had to walk a little ways over to it. That was okay. And then I got in the car, and he came, and then he told me it's going to cost you $50. And I had exactly $50 in my wallet. I had two 20s, I mean, and a 10 and a 5. Sometimes I don't have a 5, but I did, so I could give him the exact money. The Lord even had that. He knew all this was going to happen, and he had everything ready for me in this situation. And I drove home. And when I got home, I called DeLacy. That's where I get my car fixed all the time. And it was after 5, and they closed it. No, after 5, and they closed. It said in my iPad that they were closed. But I said, well, I'm going to call them anyway. And I did, and a man answered. I was so surprised because it was after hours. And I said, you know, I had this accident. My car went down in the ditch, and I have to get the tailpipe fixed. And he said, well, next week I can make an appointment for you. And I said, well, I'd want to come tomorrow, which was yesterday, Saturday. They're open on Saturday. And I said, well, I'd like to come tomorrow. And he said, he hesitated. He looked around at his schedule, I guess. And he said, well, yeah, you can come tomorrow. It's 3:00. So that I could do too. Quickly, I was suppressed and happy. So I went yesterday at 3:00. And they checked the car and they found out that the radiator needs to be renewed. Get a new radiator, and I have to get a new thing to hold up the radiator under the car. He said, we'll have to fix that. And I said, well, and get the parts. We have to order the parts so we don't have it in the bracket. I said, well, okay. He said, can you come in on Tuesday? I said, wow, that's quick. And so Tuesday, I'm going there. I have to take the money. It's over $1,000. But God has it for me in my savings, so I'm so thankful for that too. So everything is wonderful. And every day when you go out and you're thinking about the snow or the ice, or you're going to have to do different things maybe, shovel or take off the ice, just think and everything give thanks and trust the Lord. He's going to take care of everything, and he always does. Praise him. And thank you for your prayers and your support, dear Kaz people. So thankful for you. Bye.
As Paul and Jane, oh, sorry. We have another one. Well, I guess Paul and Jane can go ahead and make their way, and the praise team up front as we close with a few more. And then
before I get to join them, good morning, Cass Church. I'm thankful for so many things. I'm thankful for my family. I have a mother and a sister that for some reason or another love me unconditionally. They put up with me, and I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for friends that my God has gifted me, some of them since kindergarten, some that I found in this church, others that I found elsewhere. I'm thankful for a job that, as stressful as it has been, it has financially secured me. I don't want us to go into the red zone, but if we do, I know my job is essential and I'll be able to work, so that's been a blessing. And I'm thankful for our youth program. Lonnie and others mentioned some things that you guys don't see every day. I'm thankful for some of the students are here. Some of them, most of them are not. I'm thankful for our youth ministry that in the middle of all this mess since August, we've been going. It's a blessing to see them, to have fun with them. Some of them are crazy, but I love them all. I love them all equally. And it's been a blessing to do it alongside some young people who give up their time and their energy. Some of them are from other churches that come here just to volunteer their time. And I'm most importantly thankful for a Lord who found it in his will to find me at a Christian camp with a friend who is from this church, and he found me at a Christian camp. I was like 12 years old, who just loves me unbelievably so and has gifted me with an opportunity to worship with all these great people. I'm a cellist used to playing with 90 people in an orchestra, and that's been shut down since April. So it's nice that I get to just play the cello with all these people up here and worship our Lord and Savior. So thank you, guys. Thank you all.
Well, we're waiting for Joe to come up. Oh, is there another?
I'm thankful for my family and my dog.
Just wanted to read two last testimonies, and then we'll go ahead and sing our final song and have our dismissal. This one is from Tom Smith, who's up on the booth. Thankful for the grace of God to save a sinner like me and that he chooses to use me to do his work in service next to my brother, Fred Brown. And lastly, from Rick and Marcia Cahill. They're watching us live on Facebook. They say, I'm thankful so much for the love of God. Can't imagine not having God in my life today. I lost someone very special, miss him so much in January 2020, but I know God has a perfect plan for his family and my family. But I know that God is with me every day. My son had a baby boy in October. That is a blessing. I want to thank my friend Lisa for always be her, always being there for me. God bless you all.
Real fast, I just want to say I'm so thankful and grateful to have this opportunity to serve. This is God's work, but really isn't like work for us. I'm grateful for Joe and Solomon as well, who've been here tirelessly to make this even better. Just thank you for the strength, God, for the strength that we've had to persevere through all of this, and serves to say why we need him. We need our Lord more than ever. And our last song today is Lord, I Need You. So would you stand with us as we close with this song?